The way I put them up here is the most usual way we work through them as a set of reflections. If you read about them, you may have come across them in a different order. I'll come back to that later. But usually you come across them in this order, and this is how we're going to explore them on the retreat. And also in later commentaries, particularly from Tsongkhapa, they're divided into two sets of two. They may not be looked at in this kind of way in early commentaries, but Tsongkhapa does this. So he looks at the first two, the precious reflection on the preciousness of this human life and impermanence and death, as a way of bringing about renunciation of the pleasures of this life, or a letting go of the hankering for the pleasures of this life in a particular kind of way. So this is kind of not being attached to the pleasures of this life, and attachment's the important word. It's not that life doesn't have pleasures. Life has many, many pleasures. But it's to do with not living merely for the pleasures of this life, not living a purely hedonistic life. And in a way, not looking for, sometimes it's put, not looking for a happy outcome in this life, in the sense that samsara will work for us, that the things of samsara will give us lasting pleasure and happiness. So, you know, we may think that life is about having a great time, making lots of money, being famous, you know, all the things that kind of samsara is about. Money, fame, health, happiness. And you might think, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with those things? And there's a tendency, if that's your total focus, of course, to not be looking at suffering and pain, either your own or other people's. And also that kind of attitude, well, we're not kind of really faced with the way things really are, with reality. And it sort of keeps us attached to the pain-pleasure cycle. So we look for pleasure, and the things in which we look for pleasure aren't lasting, so the pleasure isn't lasting, and that leads to disappointment, unhappiness and suffering. So it's kind of the first two reflections are working against that kind of delusion. And of course, all of us, the fact that we're practicing the Dharma, we've seen through that delusion to some extent already, of course. And well, perhaps using these four reflections can take us into seeing through it much more deeply. And also, if we think about just sort of samsaric pleasures, if we start to reflect on impermanence and death more deeply, we see those pleasures in a different perspective, those mundane pleasures in a different perspective, in the perspective of impermanence and death. So quite naturally then, you know, we'd start to kind of withdraw from things, be less interested in things, because we realise they're not going to satisfy our deepest needs and desires. So the first two mind turnings enable us to invest more deeply in our inner life, in our spiritual life, in our Dharma life. It doesn't mean that we're not going to still carry on enjoying, you know, the pleasures of samsara, but, you know, we'll have a different perspective on life. So we're beginning to let go of our preoccupations with the things of this life. Sometimes talked about in terms of the eight worldly winds, and also in terms of a preoccupation with food and pleasure and reputation. So we realise we can't take the things that we enjoy so much with us.